Hi, this is Chris Kirchhoff. Welcome to our latest installment of the PlanCorp Perspectives. As always, I'm joined by Rainey Verby, our Director of Wealth Management. How's it going, Rainey?
Pretty good, Chris. Thanks for kicking us off today. It seems we've got a lot of great questions lined up, so I'll just get right to it. Perfect. There's a lot of news these days about the debt ceiling. It's kind of reaching a fever pitch. And, you know, as I think about it, Chris, I know we've been here before a couple times just in my adult lifetime, but it's still scary. It's still a really worrisome topic, and we're seeing so much news coverage. So in your mind, Chris, how important is the debt ceiling to our clients?
That's a great question, Rainey. And I think one that we all kind of wrestle with, because let's talk about the issue behind the issue, which does have some longer term implications. And that is just the overall debt level of the country and the rate at which that level of debt has been increasing over the last decade or more. And that rate, I think most economists would agree, is a bit unsustainable in terms of how quickly the rate of that debt has been growing. So that is a topic that at some point, hopefully in the not so distant future, our legislature and our leaders will deal with head on. And it's not an easy one. But the debt ceiling itself and the vote around the debt ceiling is really meant to be more of an administrative type task. And it's become very, as many things have these days, politicized. I think the good news for our clients is, generally speaking, these debt ceiling debates do end up with some agreement, some compromise, usually at the very last minute that comes through, and we do in fact get an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. The one time where we really pressed the limits, and by we, I do mean Congress and our president, pressed the limits was back in 2011. And what resulted from that was a bit of a lack of confidence in U.S. Treasury. So for the first time in the history of Treasury markets, the U.S. Treasuries were downgraded from their AAA status. And I'll point to the fact that the sky didn't fall when that happened. There was some short-term volatility in the bond markets for a week or two, and then things resolved and we got back to normal. So, you know, while there can be certainly some volatility that comes around the debt ceiling debate itself, and that's mostly driven by uncertainty and concern over, you know, what's going to happen next. The good news is, number one, generally these things do get resolved. And even in the event where it wasn't resolved exactly by the deadline that was put out there, you know, it was a very short-term disruption in the bond market that resolved pretty quickly once the debt ceiling increase was passed.
That's all really helpful, Chris. I wonder if that volatility and uncertainty leads a little bit to this next question that I've been hearing a lot more recently, which is, should I have real estate in my portfolio? And is that a diversifier? Does it give me a sense of guaranteed income that I don't necessarily have from other assets in my portfolio? How do you come at this in talking to clients?
Sure. I think the real estate question is one that we hear pretty often. And what generally people are looking for is that higher yield on their investment. At least investors I've talked to, that's generally what's behind the question, is can they earn a higher current return on their investment? And there seems to be, in many cases, a sense of safety that happens, because with real estate, you don't get a daily valuation, especially if you're talking about one specific property or even some of these private fund offerings that have become fairly popular in recent years. Obviously, if you're in a public REIT, there is daily pricing to that. So you see the normal volatility we see in the marketplace. But I would say, even if you don't see a daily price, it doesn't mean that there isn't volatility to the actual value in the underlying real estate. So it stands to reason, with the rate increases that we've seen and the higher yields we've seen across the bond markets, the real estate valuations have come under pressure in recent times. And of course, real estate is a giant asset class, right? There's a lot of subsets to it. So one of the things I would urge clients to do is to make sure that you're having good, productive conversations with your wealth manager around how real estate fits into your portfolio. And make sure, you know, we have honest conversations around what you're trying to achieve. It may be that real estate is a good solution for you. In fact, I just had a conversation earlier today with a client where I think, you know, the real estate piece fit nicely into what they were trying to achieve in their overall financial objective. But it was also a portion of their assets that they could afford to have sit as illiquid and really inaccessible for well over the next 10 years. And so being mindful of that and also being mindful of the real cost of owning real estate and keeping account for that, those are things that often get lost in the shuffle. But more importantly, just making sure it fits into your specific financial plan. Just because you hear a friend has done well investing in real estate or this person likes real estate a lot doesn't mean it's necessarily the right asset class for you. Okay, on that note, Rainey, it's a common client question that we hear is, have I saved enough? Or how do I know if I've put enough money aside for retirement and I'm really on track for retirement? And how do I compare to my peers?
That is a really common question that comes up, Chris, and I've heard it just in the last couple of weeks. I always want our clients to remember that typically what you're reading and hearing is geared toward the average American. If you're a PlanCorp client, you've probably saved much more than that, and you're in a different place financially and ahead of that curve. So, you know, I think Social Security articles are always a good example of this because they are focused on cash flow maximization and really the Social Security recipient who is living off that Social Security income, where for a PlanCorp client, we might be focused on wealth maximization or retention and growth in the portfolio and how we want to maximize that Social Security strategy. So, you know, of course, we all want to know how we compare to our peers. I think that's part of human nature and curiosity. But the reality is, it might not necessarily be relevant, right? If you have saved enough really comes down to your definition of enough. And that might look very different for you and for your peers. So I really try to focus on what enough means for that family.
Yeah, I love the way you frame that, Rainey. And I'd like to talk a little bit more, if you don't mind, about the definition of enough. Could you share a little bit on how you talk to clients about the topic of enough?
Absolutely. As you know, I love to talk about this. You know, I generally take the conversation away from numbers because it is about the numbers, but it's about a lot more than that. And it's about your mindset. The phrase I use for this, because it's my favorite one I've heard, is funded contentment. And when you think about what funded contentment means, it is truly different for every person and every family. So I want to listen to that client and I want to hear more about their story and themselves. And, you know, maybe it means having enough that we can continuously give a portion of our income to charity, or we can leave part of our estate behind to do good things. Maybe it's about sending all of your kids to school debt-free. That's one of your family values. Maybe it's about being a good steward of your assets for the next generation. And so it really depends on the client. For a lot of clients, it's about relaxing and really being able to savor the experiences that you're spending your money on and enjoying your money during your lifetime. It matters the most what that client's story is and how they frame enough. And so once we've had that conversation, we can absolutely go back to the numbers and start looking at what it means in your particular situation. We can have a much better conversation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's such an important topic to make sure you're having that open and honest conversation with your wealth manager and with yourself, to be honest.
Yeah, those are the things we love to talk about. So on that note, I think we're ready to wrap up this episode. Thank you for joining us. If you have a question you'd like to hear our perspective on, you can talk to your PlanCorp wealth manager and let them know, or you can email us at perspective@plancorp.com. We wish you more health and fewer worries.
Thank you for listening to the PlanCorp Perspective. For important disclosures, please visit plancorp.com/perspective. We'll see you next month.